A disgrace to the profession. The world scientists in their own words on Michael E. Mann, his hockey stick, and their damage to science. Volume 1. Compiled and edited by Mark Stein. Illustrated by Josh. Narrated by Melissa Howes. Published by Stockade Books. All rights reserved. Part 15. Scientist number 85. Quote, "Normally this would be considered as a scientific forgery." Close quote. Professor At Kurola, Ph.D., Professor of Environmental Change at the University of Helsinki's Department of Environmental Sciences. Member of the Environment Panel of the European Academy's Science Advisory Council. Board member of the Journal of Paleolimnology. Visiting professor at University College London and Queen's University, Kingston. Mark. When Mann claims his hockey stick has been replicated, what he usually means is that his errors have been replicated in papers by fellow hockey teamsters down through the years. If you're the fellow who went out and collected the original data, this can be frustrating. As Professor Kurola wrote in 2009 in the Finnish web journal CO2 Raportti, quote, "When later generations learn about climate science, they will classify the beginning of the 21st century as an embarrassing chapter in the history of science. They will wonder at our time and use it as a warning of how the core values and criteria of science were allowed little by little to be forgotten as the actual research topic, climate change, turned into a political and social playground." Mark. Professor Kurola is nominally on the same side as Mann, but the cause of his ire was the misuse of Finnish data. Mann had flipped Mia Tillander's Finnish sediments on their head in his 2008 paper. That is, he used somebody else's research upside down and thereby switched the medieval warm period and Little Ice Age. Needless to say, he huffily refused to admit his error and dismissed the claim that upside-down data were used as, quote-unquote, bizarre. So no one did anything, and the same mistake was repeated in yet another peer-reviewed paper the following year by other hockey teamsters. Professor Kurola didn't mince words. Quote, "Another example is a study recently published in the prestigious journal Science. It is concluded in the article that the average temperatures in the Arctic region are much higher now than at any time in the past 2,000 years. The result may well be true, but the way the researchers ended up with this conclusion raises questions. Proxies have been included selectively. They have been digested, manipulated, filtered, and combined. For example, data collected from Finland in the past by my own colleagues has even been turned upside down, such that the warm periods become cold and vice versa. Normally, this would be considered as a scientific forgery, which has serious consequences." Close quote. Mark. But in Mann world, a scientific forgery quickly becomes, quote-unquote, settled science, as Robert Way privately conceded to Mann's allies at Skeptical Science. Quote, "Mann's response of bizarre was pretty lazy, if you ask me. The original Tillander series, people even said Mann and Kaufman used it wrong. That being said, McIntyre is a conspiracy whack job." Close quote. As for Mann et al. 2008, Way advised, quote, "Stay away from Mann's 2008 paper. It has actually been invalidated." Close quote. Scientist number 86, quote, "The graph was flipped upside down, and now I doubt if it can be a mistake anymore." Close quote. Professor Matti Saarnisto, Ph.D., Professor of Geology and former Research Director of the Geological Survey of Finland, former Secretary General of the Finnish Academy of Sciences and Letters, member of the Estonian Academy of Sciences. Professor Saarnisto talked about Mann's recurring abuse of other people's data on the Finnish TV show ATOC in 2010. Quote, Sari Hyvönen, Matti, your own research result has been distorted in public. Tell us what was done. Matti Saarnisto, well, indeed. One of the people who have been in the public eye, Professor Mann from Pennsylvania State University, he has published several articles about the climate history of the past 1,000 years. The last time it was the history of the last 2,000 years. In that article, my group's research material from Kortjärvi near Jyväskylä was used in such a way that the medieval warm period was shown as a mirror image. Hyvönen, that is, the graph was flipped? Saarnisto, the graph was flipped upside down. It was in Science. Hyvönen, why was that done? How do you interpret that? Saarnisto, that is something I've tried to sort out. In this email I received yesterday from one of the authors of the article, my good friend Professor Ray Bradley, says there was a large group of researchers who had been handling an extremely large amount of research material, and at some point it happened that this graph was turned upside down. Hyvönen, so it was not done on purpose? It was a mistake? Saarnisto, well, when Bradley says so to me, I don't doubt for a moment. But then this happened yet another time in Science a little before Christmas. Again, this Kortjärvi material, which was a part of Mia Tillander's PhD thesis. Mia Tillander is a known person worldwide, and the article where the material appeared was published in 2003. Mia Tillander was the first author, I was the second, and good younger colleagues of mine, Timo Saarinen and Antti Ihola, came after. Hyvönen. Yes. Saarnisto. It has been turned upside down twice in Science, and now I doubt if it can be a mistake anymore. This group, which has been seen in a negative light by the public, I know them. They have been somehow skeptical about this medieval warm period and have tried to hide it to some extent. I have always thought that this was purely a case of scientific critique. But now, in the last few days, I have come somewhat to a conclusion that there is some purposefulness in this. But how is it possible that this type of material is repeatedly published in these top science journals? It is because of the peer review process central to Science. There is a small circle going round and round. Relatively few people are reviewing each other's papers. And that is, in my opinion, the worrying aspect. Closed quote. Scientist number 87, quote, the regional temperatures during the MWP exceeded those in the recent warm period, closed quote. Professor Yuxin He, PhD et al. Yuxin He is assistant professor of the Department of Earth Sciences at Zhejiang University. Weigu Lu, Zheng Wang, Huan Yi Yang, and Ji Sheng An are with the Institute of Earth Environment at the Chinese Academy of Sciences. Jian Shengzhou is at the UK National Oceanography Center in Southampton. Yi Lu, Zheng Yan Quin, and Qi Hu Yu are with the Institute of Polar Environment at the University of Science and Technology of China. Zhong Hu Lu is at the University of Hong Kong's Department of Earth Sciences. Mark. In 2009, for the purposes of a new paper, Mann appeared to rediscover the medieval warm period, or as he called it, the medieval climate anomaly, for the purpose of demonstrating that it was purely local phenomenon. Dr. Sebastian Luning explains, quote, the idea behind the paper was to show that the warmth in some areas was offset by cold in other parts of the world. To show this, the authors searched out places that were colder than normal 1,000 years ago. The problem was the Atlantic region, which had an excellent amount of data to support the medieval warmth. Here the temperatures stood at least at today's levels. Therefore, Michael Mann searched around for other regions where far less data was available, and found the central Eurasian region would do just fine. The scarcity of available data left lots of room for interpretation. This is how the authors plotted a huge region of cold over a large swath of central Eurasia during the medieval warm period, which supposedly offset the inconvenient Atlantic warmth. Close quote. Mark. These results struck a group of scientists rather closer to the scene as curious, as they wrote in the Chinese Science Bulletin. Quote, "A recent analysis suggests that the MWP warmth matches or exceeds the current level in some regions, but not globally." Mann et al., 2009. Curiously, they also reported anomalous coolness during the MWP in Central Eurasia, including the northern Tibetan Plateau, a region with limited high-quality paleoclimatic reconstructions available. Close quote. Yuxin He and his colleagues took a look at what Dr. Luning calls man's liberally interpreted data and his postulated Central Eurasian cold zone and found that yet again he'd got things upside down. Quote, "Our records show that the regional temperatures during the MWP exceeded those in the recent warm period." Close quote. As Professor He et al. Note, quote, "The substantially warmer condition on the northern Tibetan plateau, together with the relatively warmer conditions on Greenland, the persistent positive North Atlantic oscillation mode, negative southern oscillation index, and the prevailing La Nina-like conditions in the tropical Pacific suggest anomalous climatic conditions during the MWP, beyond the climate variability captured by the recent warm period." Close quote. Man is running out of places to find a medieval non-warm period. Scientist number 88. Quote, "We have discovered that the geographic orientation of the CCSM field used by Mann et al. 2005, Mann et al. 2007A, and Mann et al. 2007B was incorrect." Close quote. Dr. Jason E. Smerdon, Ph.D. et al. Jason E. Smerdon, Ph.D., and Alexei Kaplan, Ph.D., are Lamont Associate Research Professors at Columbia University's Lamont-Doherty Earth Observatory. Daniel E. Amran is a Ph.D. candidate at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution Joint Program in Physical Oceanography. Mark. Man has never learned the lessons from his first bungled papers. These days, other scientists are bulk discounting them. In 2010, Dr. Smerdon et al. Published a paper in the Journal of Climate with the intriguing title, "Erroneous Model Field Representations in Multiple Pseudo-Proxy Studies, Corrections and Implications." Now, who does that sound like? As Dr. Smerdon and his colleagues explained. Quote, "We have discovered that the geographic orientation of the CCSM field used by Mann et al. 2005, hereinafter M05, Mann et al. 2007A, hereinafter M07, and Mann et al. 2007B was incorrect." Close quote. Mark, whether you slice the globe north, south, or east, west, you wind up with only two hemispheres. Not a lot to remember. Yet Mann managed to mix up the eastern and western hemispheres. Not in one paper, but three. In a slightly more sophisticated error, he smoothed one hemisphere, but not the other. Quote, "We also have discovered that the ECHOG field used in MO7 was corrupted by a hemispheric scale smoothing in the western hemisphere." Close quote. As Dr. Eduardo Zurita explained at his website, quote, "The new paper by Smerdon et al. Has identified basic and surprising errors in the testing of the REG-EM method by the Mann Group. In one case, when interpolating the climate model data onto a different grid, the data were rotated around the Earth 180 degrees, so that model data that should be located on the Greenwich Meridian were erroneously placed at 180 degrees longitude. In another case, the data in the Western Hemisphere were spatially smoothed, while the data in the Eastern Hemisphere were not. These errors bear some consequences. The location of the pseudo-proxies did not match the location of real proxies anymore. The spatial covariance of the temperature data was not correct. When the authors thought that they were testing the skill of the method to reconstruct the temperature in the ENSO region by proxies located in North America, they were actually testing the reconstruction of temperature by proxies located somewhere else. Stuff happens, and errors like these can creep in every study by any group. It is, however, surprising that these errors went undetected for several years, affecting two key manuscripts that used the same datasets. Close quote. Scientist number 89, quote, several aspects of their tree ring growth simulations are erroneous. Close quote. Dr. Kevin J. Ankutkaitis, Ph.D. et al. Kevin J. Ankutkaitis is assistant scientist at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, an adjunct associate research scientist. For the et al. Crowd, see below. In 2012, Mann published with Jose de Fuentes and Scott Rutherford a paper in Nature Geoscience. This time, nobody liked it. Quote, to the editor, several aspects of their tree ring growth simulations are erroneous. First, they use an algorithm that has not been tested for its ability to reflect actual observations, even though established growth models such as the Vaganov-Shashkin model are available. They rely on a minimum growth temperature threshold of 10 degrees Celsius that is incompatible with real-world observations. This condition is rarely met in regions near the limit of tree growth, where ring formation demonstrably occurs well below this temperature. There is abundant empirical evidence that the temperature limit for tree ring formation is around 5 degrees Celsius. Mann and colleagues arbitrarily and without justification require 26 days with temperatures above their unrealistic threshold for ring formation. Their resulting growing season becomes unusually short at 50 to 60 days rather than the more commonly observed 70 to 137 days. Furthermore, they use a quadratic function to describe growth that has no basis in observation or theory, and they ignore any day length and moisture constraints on growth. Close quote. Etc. But it's the sign-off that catches the eye. Quote, Kevin J. Ankutkaitis, Petra Breitenmoser, Keith R. Briffa, Agata Buchwald, Ulf Buntgen, Edward R. Cook, Roseanne DeReggio, Jan Esper, Michael Ann Evans, David Frank, Hakan Grud, Bjorn E. Gunnarsson, Malcolm K. Hughes, Alexander V. Kurdinov, Christian Corner, Paul J. Krusik, Brian Luckman, Thomas M. Melvin, Matthew W. Sulzer, Alexander V. Shushkin, Claudia Timrek, Eugene A. Vaganov, and Rob J. S. Wilson. Mark, is that unanimous? Or would Mann like a recount? Oh, wait, Roseanne DeReggio isn't done with that Mann et al. 2012 paper. As tweeted by Nature correspondent Alexandra Witse, here's Professor DeReggio with one for the road. Quote, DeReggio, at Michael E. Mann paper is highly questionable. Questions entire science of tree ring dating. Misleads public. Close quote. Scientist number 90, quote, a crock of shit. Close quote. Dr. Rob Wilson, Ph.D., Senior Lecturer in the Department of Geography and Sustainable Development at the University of St. Andrews, Associate Research Scientist at Columbia University's Tree Ring Laboratory, former Tree Ring Technician at the Institute of Antarctic and Southern Ocean Studies in Tasmania, and in his own laboratory in Germany, undertaking historical dating in the Bavarian Forest region, author of peer-reviewed papers published by the Holocene, the International Journal of Climatology, Scientific Reports, Dendrochronologia, and other journals. Mark, in October 2013, Professor Wilson gave a lecture at the University of St. Andrews. Among the audience was the author of The Hockey Stick Illusion, A.W. Montford. Quote, as readers here know, Rob is no kind of a skeptic, a point he repeated over lunch. But on the Northern Hemisphere paleo studies, his position is not a million miles away from mine. Because of the prominence of Michael Mann's work in the area, some of the lecture was devoted to the hockey stick, to the 2008 paper, The Upside-Down Talanger Study to be Initiated, and to man's most recent area of focus, the influence of volcanoes on tree ring growth. Students learned that the hockey stick included a whole lot of inappropriate proxies and heard something of the issues with its verification statistics. The wallpapering of the third assessment with man's magnum opus and John Houghton's claims about unprecedented warmth based on this single study were described as, quote-unquote, ridiculous. Ultimately, a flawed study was the conclusion, with a gory list of problems set out, inappropriate data, infilling of gaps, use of poorly replicated chronologies, flawed PC analysis data, and code withheld until prized from the grasp of the principals. We also heard about man's parvum opus, the hockey stick and the climate wars, which Rob, like so many others, had given up on in fairly short order. That was the gentle beginning. When we got onto Man et al. 2008, we learned about the silliness of the screening process, and students were invited to try screening a set of random generated time series in the way Mann had gone about this study. The real fireworks came when Mann's latest papers, which hypothesize that tree ring proxies have large numbers of missing rings after major volcanic eruptions, were described as, quote-unquote, a crock of shit, close quote. In the comments section below Mr. Montford's post, Professor Wilson confirmed that he had indeed characterized Mann's work as such. Quote, I want to clarify that my two-hour lecture was, I hope, a critical look at all of the Northern Hemispheric reconstructions of past temperature to date. It was not focused entirely on Michael Mann's work. I described each of the major studies and tried to highlight both their strengths and weaknesses. The crock of shit statement was focused entirely on recent work by Michael Mann, WRT, hypothesized missing rings in tree ring records. Although a rather flippant statement, I stand by it, and Mann is well aware of my criticisms, privately and through the peer-reviewed literature, of his recent work. Rob, close quote. Chapter 10, Man O' War. Captain Climate battles the deniers. Quote, Aspen Island Theater Company, to assist with cost of the creative development of a new theater work, Kill Climate Deniers, $18,793. Close quote. Award of taxpayer funding from Australian Capital Territory Arts Fund, 2015. Mark. Professor Mike Holmes' review of Mann's book, The Hockey Stick and the Climate Wars, Dispatches from the Frontlines, begins as follows. Quote, the climate wars of which this book speaks have been persistent and not infrequently dramatic and brutal. Vast human and capital resources have been invested by both sides in pursuing frontline assaults and covert guerrilla tactics against the enemy. Few prisoners have been taken, but many casualties inflicted, including innocent bystanders. Yet decisive victory for either side has been elusive. Recent efforts at mediation by peacemakers such as Jerry Rivets and Hans von Storch have made little headway. I could continue in this trope for several sentences more. The attraction of the war metaphor in many types of communication and journalism is that it is so rich in vocabulary and imagery. Close quote. Indeed. As Professor Holm notes, Mann's prose style marches to a martial beat. Assault. Battle of the Bulge. Battle scars. Climate wars. Denial offensive. Dispatches. Drumbeat. Fight. Fighting back. Frontline. Ground attack. Line of fire. Trenches. War trophy. This is a strange tack for a man of science. But then Mann has always seen this as a total war. Promoting his book on C-SPAN, he said the argument over climate change has been likened at times to a fight between a Boy Scout and a terrorist. And you know, we are the Boy Scouts. So you're either with us or you're with the terrorist. His first means of control was the venerable scientific tradition of quote-unquote peer review. To most of us, peer review sounds so reassuringly respectable that a drowsy numbness descends midway through the phrase. In the days after Climategate, Mann's buddy Ed Begley Jr. was keen to talk it up. Mr. Begley was the star of the 1980s medical drama St. Elsewhere. but has latterly been better known as an activist in environmental matters. He's been in a competition with Bill Nye, the science guy, to see who can have the lowest carbon footprint. Pistols at dawn would seem the quickest way of resolving that one, but presumably you couldn't get a reality series out of it. Interviewed by Stuart Varney on Fox News, Ed was relaxed about the mountain of documents leaked from the CRU on how to hide the decline and other interesting matters. Nothing to see here, folks. Nothing to worry about. Quote, "We'll go down the path and see what happens in peer-reviewed studies," closed quote, said Ed airily. Those are the key words here, Stuart. Peer-reviewed studies. Hang on. Could you say that again more slowly so we can write it down? Not to worry. Ed said it every 12 seconds, as if it were the magic charm that could make all the bad publicity go away. Quote-unquote peer-reviewed studies is the key words. And if it comes out in peer-reviewed studies, go to Science Magazine, folks. Go to Nature, babbled Ed. Read peer-reviewed studies. That's all you need to do. Don't get it from you or me. Look for the peer-reviewed label, and then just believe whatever it is they tell you. The trouble with outsourcing your marbles to the peer-reviewed set is that if you take away one single thing from ClimateGate, it's that the global warmongers have wholly corrupted the quote-unquote peer-review process. Quote, "Coaching reviewers, stacking panels, and litmus testing for associate editors are wrong," closed quote, insisted Dr. David Rutledge, former editor of Transactions on Microwave Theory and Techniques, adding with remarkable restraint that in his day, these things were not done. The more frantically Mann and Co. talked up peer review as the only legitimate basis for criticism, the more assiduously they turned the process into what scientist James Lewis called the Chicago machine politics of international science, pressuring publishers, firing editors, blacklisting scientists, as their echo chambers shriveled, and they yelled louder and louder that they and only they represent the peer-reviewed consensus. Qui custodius? Ipsos custodis? Wondered Juvenal. Who watches the watchman? But the beauty of the climate change circus is that you never need to ask who peer-reviews the peer-reviewers. Mann peer-reviewed Jones, and Jones peer-reviewed Mann, and anyone who questioned their views got exiled to the unwarmed wastes of Siberia. The quote-unquote consensus warmongers could have declared it only counts as peer-reviewed if it's published in peer-reviewed studies published by Mann and Jones Publishing, Inc., Peermate of the month, Michael Mann, reclining naked, draped in dead polar bear fur on a melting ice floe. And Ed Begley Jr. would still have wandered out glassy-eyed into the streets droning, "Peer-reviewed studies. Cannot question peer-reviewed studies. The science is settled." With the arrival of social media, Mann-style climate control advanced to the next level.